Resolution appreciation, first, we'll do that first.
Do that first, absolutely.
Okay. By the way, preacher, where's that guy? I give credit the first 5 minutes after I hear something, then it's mine. And every good gift, every perfect gift, down from the Father of lies. When I hear better, I'll preach better. Brother Cooper, would you come on up here? Now we're gonna, I'm gonna do a bunch of Yankee talk and then I'll translate. This newspaper signed by the officers of the Dean Burgon Society says this. To Dr. D.L. Cooper and the members of Bible Baptist Church in Marietta, Georgia, this 27th day of July 2017, whereas the Bible Baptist Church in Marietta, Georgia have, have provided their facilities to the Dean Burgon Society and graciously hosted our 39th annual Dean Burgon Society meeting, and whereas Dr. D.L. Cooper, pastor, people of Bible Baptist Church, Marietta, Georgia, have shown Christian hospitality toward us, meeting our physical needs in comfortable surroundings, and sharing with us their warm Christian fellowship, whereas Dr. D.L. Cooper, pastor, and the members of the Bible Baptist Church of Marietta, Georgia, have continued to maintain a growing historical record of a strong, continuing defense of the traditional Bible text. Be it therefore resolved that the executive and advisory committees of the Dean Burgon Society, meeting this 26th and 27th days of July 2017, hereby express our sincere appreciation to Dr. Cooper and the Bible Baptist Church for being considerate and compassionate hosts, commend them for being fellow soldiers with us in the greatest battle of our century, the defense of the traditional received Bible text, including the authorized King James Bible. Now, Brother Cooper, in plain English, that means thank you.
In the interest of being soldiers together, I just hope that we have appropriately handle this act of Northern aggression.
We still won.
Hey, it's not over yet.
Before I introduce Dr. Brother,
thank you, God bless you.
Thank you. I am so excited to see young people here. And anything under my age is young. So it's all right. I look 90. I'm only 65. But I am so thrilled to see younger fellows, especially guys that have color in your hair, because it means that when those of us who are getting closer to heaven make the transition, somebody's still going to be here to fight the battle. And I got no plans on going anywhere anytime soon. I'm going to hang on to the end, and when Dr. Waite has his 100th birthday, I want it to be at the Dean Burgon Society meeting.
Amen.
And we have a celebration, and Jesus doesn't come, and if he does, we'll have it up there.
Amen.
Dr. Waite, you've now been head of this society or part of it for 39 years. You've been studying the Bible a lot longer than that, in Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. Have you found any problems yet with our King James Bible? Not one at all. Well, then bless the Lord, you can come preach to us.
Amen.
We introduce you to our president, Dr. D.A. Waite.
Thank you.
Amen.
I wonder, Brother Lane, here's our outline. He's going to pass those out to the families. One preach to the families that you want. And we'll be able to follow along a little bit. And so on for you. All right. While he's passing those out, let's begin.
The influence of Gnosticism on Bible versions. We must realize that Gnostics are the very source of the falseness of all these modern versions. Dean Burgon said when Alexandria, Egypt, where the Gnostics' headquarters were, they received the traditional text. And immediately the Gnostics, finding that their doctrines are different than the traditional text, they began to add, subtract, and change, and that's the source of these modern verses. For instance, now, The influence of Gnosticism, Bible version. All Gnostic quotations here are from Gnosticism, the doctrinal foundation of the new Bible versions. Mrs. Janet Mosier, this is the book that we brought here. It's important to see that is the case, and certainly want to see. According to the Gnostics, the place and headquarters of the true church and God's temple is Alexandria, Egypt. And Alexandria was also the headquarters of the Gnostic doctrinal heresies. Now notice also, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts on which the modern Bibles are based are filled with Gnostic heresies and still with us today. Now, the some of the doctrines, here's some of the doctrines that the Gnostics believed, and you'll see these doctrines, we're going to illustrate some of them in our versions, the modern version today. First, Jesus had a sin nature, and like every other man. Page 93, redemption includes Jesus Christ. Page 180, he was lost. Joseph, not God, was the father of Jesus. Page 83. Page 80, Jesus was not God incarnate, did not have all of God's attributes. These are doctrinal errors of Gnosticism found in the modern versions. The term Lord refers to the Father and not Jesus. Page 62. The Son is not equal to the Father. Page 63. Jesus is not the Lord God Almighty. Page 87. Christ is separated from Jesus. Page 95. It's not Jesus Christ, but Christ is one thing, Jesus another. The Christ came upon Jesus at his baptism, and in order to enlighten and perfect him, and left him before he died. Page 97. Lucifer is the Savior. Page 33. The Savior did not die on the cross, rather another Jesus who was demon-possessed. Page 106. Man is saved by the symbolic death of Christ within man, not by the blood of Christ. Page 162. Man is saved by following the example of the Redeemer and obedience. Page 167. Redemption includes all the angels, including Satan and his angels. Page 179. Redemption includes the whole world, universal salvation. Page 182. God is the universal Father of all mankind. All mankind are his sons. Page 66. The devil is an instrument of God and will ultimately be pardoned. Page 135. Man is saved and perfected in stages. Page 188. Man is saved by the following the example of the Redeemer. In obedience. Page 167. Man is saved through the sacraments. Page 168. Man is saved through faith in his own works, not that of Christ. Now here's some of the examples. I say maybe 75 of them. There are 356 doctrinal errors in the new versions. Now notice at the bottom, every one of these slides, I have the American Standard Version, New American Standard, New International Version, Revised Standard Version, English Standard Version, many, many others. All of these versions follow the exact correction, change, addition, every one. They're totally bound up to the Gnostic critical Greek text. I used to call it just the critical text, the Westcott Norr text. Now I call it the Gnostic critical Greek text because the critical text came from Alexandria, Egypt, where the Gnostics doctored the traditional texts they'd received. The denial of Christ's virgin birth. And I don't understand how Bible-believing Christians, say born-again Christians, could be comfortable with these new versions that have all these perversions of doctrines that they profess to believe in. How can they do it? Matthew 1:25 knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son. Firstborn is gone, just her son. Called his name Jesus. The implication that the Lord Jesus was a sinner. Someone mentioned that in their talks early yesterday, or today. Luke 2:22, when the days of her, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem, presented to the Lord. Now they take away the her, the days of purification. There are three people there, the Lord Jesus, his mother, and the Father. And that implies that all of them needed perfection and perfect purification. And in other words, the Lord Jesus was a sinner in some way, shape, or form. Now, these are some of the things that are in these different versions. Change the her to their purification. And then the denial of Christ's virgin birth in Luke 2:33. All these versions down here have all these exact same differences. And it says here, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things that were spoken of him. Here it's just simply changed Joseph's mother to his father and his mother, saying that Jesus had a human father. That's implied. Not the deity, not the virgin birth, to the Father. And then in Luke 2:43, when they'd fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And this is left out. Joseph and his mother knew not. That's changed to his parents. How can Bible-believing Christians use any of these verses below, denying the deity of Christ, his virgin birth, and go on about their business? Now, some of them don't know it because it's eliminated from their scriptures. They don't know it, but they should know it and understand it. The denial of Christ's divine mission in Luke 9:56. Notice his divine mission in the red. That's in our King James Bible. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Every one of those red lines, red words are omitted. All the words. The mission of Christ to save men dawned from these perversions because of Gnosticism. They didn't believe anything the Lord Jesus was coming to save men's lives. He's just a sinner needed to be saved himself, according to these people that were Gnostics. Then the denial of Christ's omnipresence. We mentioned, one of my brethren mentioned this also earlier today, or yesterday. John 3:13, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. They omit that phrase because the Gnostics didn't believe in the omnipresence of the Lord Jesus. He was on earth, he's in heaven, all over, and he's still here with us tonight. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. Denial. Denial of unbelievers perishing in hell. John 3:15, for example, that whosoever believeth in him, King James Bible, should not perish, but have eternal life. They omit should not perish, because to the Gnostics, everybody's saved. Why is this thing in here? Knock it out. And the verses following Gnosticism knocked it out. Denial that God the Father sent Christ to this earth. In John 5:30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. Just the will of, notice, him that sent me. Not the Father. Not that he came from God the Father. Not denying that the Father, God the Father, sent the Lord Jesus to this earth. The denial that God the Father sent Christ to the earth. Again, another one in John 6:39. And this is, again, the Father's will is gone, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last day. Version changed the Father's will to him. This is him which has sent me. Denying that the Father sent the Son, because how could the Father send the Son when the Son was just a man, not born of a virgin, not deity, not sent from heaven, just was born as a human being. And then denial that believing on Christ is necessary to have everlasting life. In John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth, now notice the King James said, the true text, on me, hath everlasting life. The on me is gone. He that believeth hath everlasting life. The Gnostics said you could believe in anything. Santa Claus, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, any of them. Believe anything you want to believe, and you have everlasting life. Heresy, heresy. And how these Christian believers can use the ASV, NASV, English Standard Version, Revised Standard, is beyond me. And it makes Christ out to be alive. This was mentioned earlier today or yesterday in John 7:8. He said, the Lord Jesus said, go ye up into this feast. I go not up yet to the feast, for my time is not yet full come. Yet is omitted, I go not up to this feast. One or two verses later, he goes up to the feast. What does it make him? A liar. One of our brethren said that even today. And this is a horrible thing. All these versions take that. The teaching of the false universal fatherhood of God. In John 8:28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. The my is gone, just the Father. The fatherhood of God, the universal Father of God, the Father, means the Father of all of us. It could teach the universal Father of God, not my Father, specific Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the denial of the omnipotence of the Lord Jesus in John 8:59. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Notice what the King James Bible says. Going through the midst of them and so passed by. Gone from these modern versions. Because the Gnostics did not believe in his omnipotence, when all the gangs were up there to stone him, he couldn't have gone through the multitude. Whoops. What happened? Well, something fell down. All right. Let me just pick it up. I better put that down here, I guess. I guess I can't... I can't gesture too much. I get too far. If you ever played football, you know that you, if you're a quarterback, you're trying to get through the line. I was a junior, I was a freshman in high school. I was out for football. They had me but temporarily as a quarterback trying to get through the line. You can't do it. The Lord Jesus knew how to get through the line, ready to stone him for stones. Multitudes went right straight through him, but they leave that out. Just out of the temple, out the back door, the side door. No, he went right straight through the multitude, and his deity, his omnipotence, let him do it. Then you know the Christ is the Son of God. In John 9:35, Jesus heard that they cast him out. This man that was born blind, they said, "Do you tell that?" And when he had found him, he said to him, "Dost thou believe on here the Son of God?" They say, "The Son of Man." The deity of Christ is gone. Modern versions take out, not the Son of God. And he said, "Yes, I believe." Who is he? It is I. And he believes the Son of God, not simply the Son of Man. That's true. He's the Son of God and the Son of Man. This is the Son of God, his deity. And then doctrinal perversions of modern Bible versions, teaching the falsehood, universal fatherhood of God. In John 10:32, Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which those works ye do you stone me?" The verse said, "Not my Father, but the Father." In other words, the universal Father. He's the Father of everybody. The Father. The Father. That's what's taught in Bible and non-Bible believing churches, universal modernist apostate churches. Not the Father of simply the believers and the Lord Jesus, but everyone is born again and saved in universal salvation, which is false. Then the doctrinal perversions teaching the false universal fatherhood of God again. In John 16:10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, you see me no more, just the Father, implying possibly the Father of all of us. It's not the Father of all of us, it's his Father and the Father of those that are genuinely saved. The denial of Christ's ascension back to God the Father in heaven. In John 16:16, a little while you shall not see me. Again, a little while you shall see me. This is a left out completely, because I go to the Father. They did not believe. The Gnostics didn't believe he could go anywhere. He was just a man. He didn't even die on the cross. Some other one did it. But the ascension back to heaven. I go to my Father. All these new versions leave out the ascension here of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the denial of Christ's bodily resurrection. In Acts 2, verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ, omitted just to sit on the throne. A bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these versions follows the Gnostic heresies which deny the bodily resurrection of Christ and omit these things. Now, the people that have these versions, they don't know it's omitted because it's not there. They just don't know it. But it has been omitted, and they should know it. The denial of Christ's bodily resurrection again, Acts 3:26. Under the first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, send him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. His Son Jesus is changed to his servant. Just his servant, not his Son Jesus. Raised up his servant, not a bodily resurrection, but raised him as a person or as a servant, but not bodily raised from the dead. Then the denial of Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. Every one of these words is omitted in all these versions. Many more. I'm just adding 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, plus. When Philip was going to be baptized, Stephen asked him the question, "Do you believe in the Son of God? Thou mayest." Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The Gnostics did not believe that, could not believe that. They wiped it out in all these versions. Now again, I say, if you have one of these new versions, you have a blank, a space. If they're honest, they can't put in the verse 37 because 38 would be out of line. They put a blank. And those that have these versions, that are Bible-believing Christians, we don't always agree with all these Bible-believing Christians. I love them, and the Lord God says, "By this shall all men know your disciples, if you have loved one with another." I love if they're saved. I don't agree with them. If they follow this apostate, false Greek text and all these errors, following Gnosticism and their errors. As I love, but not agreement with the doctrines that are wrong. That's the way it goes. You love them in the Lord if they're saved. They leave Christ out of the gospel. Notice Romans 1:16. Let's say it together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But Christ is gone. Why does he believe the gospel? No, the Gnostics didn't believe that Christ had anything to do with the good news and salvation. Wipe them out. Because of Gnosticism. We've got to point that thing and point that out, the Gnostic gospel. Then the denial of Christ's deity. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Period. Our Lord. These Gnostics didn't believe he was the Lord of anything. He was just a human being. And all these new versions following slavishly a Gnostic critical Greek text. Just do this. You say, well, I wonder how they all...
I guess I'm going to have to stop. But, let's see, I guess I put it over in this chair. I'll put it on the floor. I can't anywhere deeper than the floor. I don't know where I said, but how are these new version people? Once again, our Lord is gone, so they don't really know this anymore, do they? They've got to compare with the King James Bible. And all these people, the deity of Christ, he's not only Jesus Christ, he's our Lord.
Yes.
Savior. Then the denial of substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus for all people. 1 Corinthians 5:7. First John 11. As ye are new love, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed. No, this is for us. The substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ for the whole world. Not just for the elect simple group, but the whole world for us, all of us human beings. I remember Chuck Swindoll, who was at that time the president of Dallas International Seminary. I was listening on the radio, one of his messages. He quoted from 1 Corinthians 5:7. Here's what he said. Heard out the rule, therefore the Lord will have that you may be a new law by seeing your unleavened, for even Christ your Passover is sacrificed. Wrong. See, again, it's omitted, and it's perfect. If people have these new words, they don't know it's a mission. They're going to compare with the King James Bible. But the Gnostics, he did not believe he died to save anybody. To sacrifice, that's fine. For a good example, some of the modernists teach it as an example, he died and suffered, but not substitutionary blood atonement for the sins of the whole world. But the death of the denial of Christ's deity. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man is Adam, is of the earth, earthy. The second man is, they just say from heaven. No, he's the Lord from heaven, his deity. Again, those that have these words, they don't know it's a man. They don't know. That's why they, I don't know how to bring it into them, they got to compare with the King James, but they're not going to do that, are they?
No.
Your friends. Men the denial of Christ is able to raise the dead to life. 2 Corinthians 4:14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also blank, and shall present us with him. By Jesus is gone. The one who can raise the believers from the dead, raises up, raised up, he shall also raise up and present us with you. He's gone by the resurrection and able to raise the dead to life. Then the doctrinal denial that the heirship with God comes only through Christ. Galatians 4:7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God, blank. Only through Christ.
Amen.
Without that, everybody that reads, oh, I'm an heir of God. Everybody. No. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's omitted. They don't know it. They don't know it's missing. That's a sad thing when they don't know what's missing. They have these new versions. I don't know how they're going to find out, but I wish they'd get to the King James and they would see these things in credit. Adultery is not mentioned as a work of the flesh, by the way. Galatians 5:19, how the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, blank, fornication, uncleanness, lascivious. Adultery is gone. I guess it's all right. Probably the morality of the Gnostics didn't include adultery. That's fine, all right. Shack up with anybody you want, just go ahead and have sex with anybody. It's a sad thing. And the doctrinal denial of Christ's virgin birth and being a member of the Trinity is gone for the Gnostics. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, blank. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is gone. A member of the Trinity, which they did not believe in at all. He was just a man, he was a part of the Trinity. What if people have this thing? Wipe it out. And they wiped it out. The West Coast got critical text. I call it the Gnostic critical text. And every one of these versions, every one of these modern versions, wholeheartedly swallow this Gnostic critical Greek text. Not by that consistently say, well, maybe just one of that. No, every one of them. And worship this false Gnostic critical Greek text. And then the denial that Christ can strengthen true Christians. All of us know this. Let's say it together. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But Christ is God, just through Him. No, the Gnostics didn't think the Lord Jesus Christ had any power to strengthen anyone. So walk through Him. Take it out. Through Him is the word of strength. Him is the devil of strength. Who knows? But not Christ. And then the denial of the redemption is through Christ's blood. In Colossians 1:14. And then we have redemption, blank. Even the forgiveness, that's almost universal. No, only redemption through His blood. And those who trust the Lord Jesus, the sacrifice of the blood of Christ, has gone all these verses. Then the denial of the sources of creation and peace. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus, Timotheus, and the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace. Period. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Trinity there, the deity of Christ, peace from Him is omitted completely. And is again, that's omission, so they won't know it unless they prepare with that means in life. Denial that God is wise. 1 Timothy 1:17. Under the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only blank, the only God, the glory and honor forever, wise. They do not worship a wise God. The Gnostics didn't think He was wise. Apparently, knocking right out of that verse. He is wise. And the denial of Christ's deity and bodily incarnation. 1 Timothy 3:16. We know this with Christ. We'll say it again. And without controversy, grace is the mystery of God. God is manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached unto the Gentiles, living on in the world, received up in glory. God is gone. It's obvious for us to think He's a human being, just like the rest of us, sinner, born in thought. Just Mr. God, He was meant, they don't define He, no, it's Theos. Not something Hoss or Hoth, but it's Theos, God, manifest the deity of our Savior, and the incarnation. He manifested the flesh, He came from heaven, and was manifested in incarnation, bodily incarnation. They deny biblical separation from false teachings. 1 Timothy 6:5. Perverse disputers of men, of corrupt minds, messenger of the truth, supposing that day is God in us. Period. From such withdraw thyself as gone. Separation from apostasy, false teachers and all. It's a terrible thing. Again, sorry to say, they don't know that's missing. They just went. But they're missing, many, many doctrines. 356 doctrines. Dr. Mormon has written a book, 8,000 differences between the critical text and the textual set. 8,000. He said many of them can't even tell the difference. But there are 356 doctrinal passages where doctrine is involved. Clear-cut doctrinal law. I just gave you 75 of these, but this is one of them very seriously that is involved in the situation. Doctrine's involved. These new verses. Then the denial of eternal life in 1 Timothy 6:19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may hold on, they just say, life. Not eternal life, that's wrong, just life. No, my friends, on the Lord Jesus Christ we have eternal life.
Amen.
So the good foundation, go on with the critical Gnostic text. And allow the Christ by Himself and nothing else, purge our sins. This Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of His glory, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the expression of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had, not anything in the red, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, by Himself is gone. The Roman Catholic Church said, oh, not just by Himself.
Right.
Masses and all these other things.
Yeah.
All these other things. By Himself, the Lord Jesus purged our sins. The same people, the whole world purged so that they might be invited to trust him as their Savior and Lord. Come on, by himself, nothing else. And deny all of heaven. Hebrews 10:34. For he had compassion on me in my bonds, for joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing yourselves that you have a better and enduring hope. That's it, heaven is hope. Again, without the, with the omission. But we have in heaven. Believers have a heaven. The Gnostics have no heaven. They have all, everybody's going to heaven, whatever it is, but these are specific people that have the heaven. And the omission of adulterers, again, in James 4:4. Remember, they missed it in this place. Now they missed it here. And James, ye blank and adulteresses, coming out with the friendship of the world, is enemy with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. The adulterers, spiritual adulterers and adulteresses, that's what he's saying, that they're friends of the world and compromised in that area. Then makes provision for the Roman Catholic confessional. James 5:16, confess your, I'll leave that out, one to another, false, they change it to sins. We don't confess sins to one another, false, yes, but sins to the Lord. 1 John 1:9, let's say it together. If we confess our sins,
he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And I always tell my congregation, that word confess is one Greek word, homo logeo, it's another word. Form is the same, or I was the same. But say the same thing about my sin as God says. I agree with God.
Amen.
If we confess and just say what we did and don't agree with God that it's sin, you'll never be forgiven, you'll never be back in fellowship with the Lord. I agree with it humbly and confess. Then he will give us that sin. So, the faults, yes, we're bad, we're wrong, we apologize. We're sorry that Dr. Boyce fell out of the chair, and I got some comments there, and Pastor Danny gave a report, and he said, well, I said something that made his heart laugh. Well, I don't know what it was. But we, that's our faults. We all have faults. We all have problems, and when we do something that's wrong against our fellow believer, I hope we get together. I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean what I say. So on, see. But not sins. We confess those sins. Agree with God in 1 John 1:9 to the Lord, not to people. Make salvation a process rather than an instantaneous possession. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow, not thereby, but grow unto salvation. Salvation by desiring the milk of the word. And by the milk of the word, these all have to come be saved. They can't be saved by simply reading the Bible. But you can grow in grace thereby by reading the word of God as well. Instantaneous. And Christ, denying Christ's substitutionary death for the sins of the whole world. In 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered blank in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he hath suffered the flesh, hath ceased from sin. Now, it just brought about for us. Has suffered. I say the modernists and liberals say it's just an example, of our death. They suffered for us, and that includes the us of the whole world, all the sins of the world. Let's say John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he loved the whole world, and whosoever believeth. And the hyper-Calvinists say, no, you can't believe if you don't like. This is false doctrine, and this is, he died for us, for every sinner.
Amen.
And the hyper-Calvinists say, no, he just died for the elect. All the rest of us are lost and gone for hell. I said this many times, but we had a man that taught with me at Shelton College. I was a professor of Greek and speech on there. He was here from South Africa. Nigel Lee was his name. And he talked with me one time, and we were in chapel. So I said, now the Lord Jesus died for your sins and trust him as your Savior. He said, oh, no, you taught privately. You can't say that. You don't know all these people. You don't know whether Christ died for their sins. Don't you ever say that. And don't ever say, whosoever believed, if you trust Christ, he can be saved. He just read the riot act. Hyper-Calvinism. I've seen it, I've smelled it, I've heard it, I know it. I found it. There it was, right in front of me. So I know exactly what they believe. I know exactly what I don't believe regarding the hyper-Calvinism. I don't know if you're hyper-Calvinist here, but you're not. You died for us, the whole scripture. Yeah. Then denies the everlasting duration of hell for your unsaved of the world. 2 Peter 2:17, these are wells without water. These are apostate people. clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved, period. Forever. The foreverness of hell. Some of these teachers, Mr. Kent, Harold Kent, used to say, yeah. All of a sudden, it got shortened up and it's dropped over. So you know, but just, this is a foreverness of hell. The Nazi didn't believe hell was forever. And some of these modernists don't even believe it, but that's the fact. That's the truth. I'm sorry. Another mistake. When I dropped this thing off my tie, which means they can't hear me in the video world. Be all right, I guess. Denies everlasting destruction. Forever, the fragments of heaven. And the Roman Catholic Church, they want to pay a little money and maybe get some of the people out of hell, the temporary,
whatever they call it, temporary hell and purgatory and so on. No, nobody can get out. And the rich man Lazarus is an illustration of that in the book of Luke. And you can't get out. It's a foreverness. And the Gnostics denied it, just reserved. Then denies that Peter was an apostle, which someone referred to that as well earlier today, yesterday, 2 Peter 3:2. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of blank, the apostles of the Savior. They denied the us. And of course this is absent for all these new versions. But us, the apostles. Peter was an apostle. Some people deny he was an apostle. It says right here clearly in our text of Receptus Greek, he's an apostle. Denial of Christ's incarnation. 1 John 4:3. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus, blank, is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. You've heard it that should come, even as already in the world. Christ is come in the flesh. The Gnostics didn't believe that. Heresy to them. He didn't come. He was here just a baby, just like the rest of us. A sinner needed to be saved. And he didn't come in the flesh. He denied the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's eliminated. And these new verses, they don't miss it because they don't know that's there. See? Somebody's got to tell them. I don't know who it's going to be. I just wish they'd get out of that mess. Then the denial of the Trinity. We talked about this, 1 John 5, 7, 8. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, and there are three that bear witness in earth. Now all these things in red, all these words in red, are eliminated from the Gnostic critical Greek text, because they didn't believe in any Trinity. They believed that the Lord was a part of it or anything else. And the Spirit, water. Now, when it goes, if it's just for the black words, for these are three that bear record, the Spirit, the water, the blood, the sure one. These words, without these words in here, do not agree syntactically, Greek syntactically, in the object and accusative and subject and masculine, feminine, neuter. They just don't agree. It's one of the points that we mentioned that Dr. Jack Mormon has said in his book. And it's true in the Greek. So the denial of the Trinity and all these things. Now, they don't have that either. And they just drop it out. They don't know it's supposed to be there. But it's supposed to be there. The denial that God is wise. Again, we had an earlier verse on that, Jude 1:25. To the only God. No, the only wise God. Our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And then the denial of God's past and future eternality. Revelation 1:8. For Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, blank, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and is to come. The beginning and the ending. The eternality, eternal past, eternal present, eternality in all the past, eternality in the future, the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no beginning and ending. He was Alpha and Omega. He was from the beginning, Alpha and Omega, saith the Lord. And version of myth, the beginning and the ending. Eternality was not there. Then denial of God's hatred for the Nicolaitans doctrines. In Revelation 2:15, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Blank. It's omitted. Which thing I hate. These were false teachers, false people that believe these things, the Nicolaitans. And the Lord Jesus hates them. God hates sin of all kind. And this is left out. And then denial of God's eternality. Revelation 5 and verse 14. And the four beasts, amen, the 420 elders fell down and worshiped blank. Him that liveth forever and ever, the Lord Jesus Christ, his eternality is missing because the Gnostics didn't believe it. And all these is new versions that follow slavishly the heretical Gnostics, take everything they say. Everything they leave out, everything put in. Sad. The denial of Christ's eternal future. Revelation 11:17, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord, our God Almighty, which art and wast, period. Because thou hast taken to thee the great power and that's right. They leave out and art to come. Art and what that's past and present, but eternal art to come. Future as well. Left out all these different versions. Denial of Christ's eternal future again, Revelation 16:5. I heard of the angel of the Lord who say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast blank, because thou art and shalt be eternality of the future as well as eternality of the past. And then the false teaching of universalism, Revelation 21:24. And the nations blank shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor. Flee of them that are saved out, all the nations will come to heaven. Universal salvation. Everybody's going. No. And the nature of them that are saved shall walk in the light of this new Jerusalem. Then the refusal of Jesus Christ written as one person. Remember these verses. The one person, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. It's got to be the unity. But the Gnostics say, no, dare I take it again. What's the matter with me? I don't understand. Well, let's see. I don't know how to put this. Let me see. If I put it here. Let me have a conference with myself here. Now, I got this thing open. The pastor hands over. I got this. That thing's there. They left out the grace. Refused to have Jesus by one person. Jesus is one person. He's a human person. Christ is the divine influence. So they don't want to say Jesus Christ is one person. They don't believe that the deity of Christ and his humanity is deity, perfect God, perfect man, they deny. So they leave out one or the other in these versions. Instead of the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 15:11, they simply say Lord Jesus. They leave out Christ. Refusal to have Jesus as one person, Acts 16:31, they said believe in, instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, they say I'm the Lord Jesus. They leave out Christ. And that's what we say. See, they don't want to have the two together. And then, again, written as one verse, Acts 19:4. John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on... See, they say Christ Jesus. They say Christ Jesus. But they just say it to Jesus. They leave out Christ. Just Jesus. That's all they say. They don't have in one person. The same as at Romans 15:8. I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of circumcision for the truth of God. Jesus Christ, what we have, is just changed to Christ. They don't dare put Jesus Christ together because they do not believe in he's perfect God, perfect man. And it's a horrible thing. Many instances of this, but here's another one. In 1 Corinthians 5:4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, it just changed to the Lord Jesus. They take out Christ. Can't put Jesus Christ together. They don't believe it. Gnostics. And then 1 Corinthians 16:22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, they just change it to the Lord. Just one, they leave out Jesus and Christ. And then again, in 1 Corinthians 16:23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, they change it simply to the Lord Jesus, leaving out Christ. They don't identify the two. Then again, 2 Corinthians 5:18, all things reconciled to say by Jesus Christ, they just say to Christ. They don't want to put Jesus and Christ together. And again, 2 Corinthians 11:31, God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, just change to Jesus. They leave out Jesus and Christ. I mean, that's Christ and the Lord. And then in Colossians 1:28, again, to whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. They leave out Lord as well. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is your hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing, and not even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, the full title, just Lord Jesus, leaving out Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To then you may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and leave out just Lord Jesus. So all these things are there. I've come to 40 minutes. I'm going to stop. But I want you to understand that the Gnostics have so influenced the Greek New Testament text from Alexandria, Egypt, where Westcott and Hortz, two documents, even though they're phony probably, but Vatican and Sinai are there and they influenced those manuscripts, changed them, and so we just brought those right out. And even though that's less than 1% of the evidence, only 1% of the Greek manuscripts are false, 99% are followers of the Textus Receptus and the true text. They leave them out. All right, now, I got to take all this off. And I want to be sure we don't drop any more. Take this off. I'm going to go over this other place now. Let's sing one more song, and then what we're going to do after this. And that song is the one right next to the one before last. Remember what the number was? Yeah, I think I got it. Just open up myself. Number 548. Have you any room for Jesus? Just one close hand is all we need. 548.